My name is Lily, and I've had hidradenitis suppurativa, HS, for years. I finally found some relief since taking Cosentyx. Relief means I can show up more.
Cosentyx secukinumab is prescribed for adults with moderate to severe hidradenitis suppurativa, HS. Don't use if you're allergic to Cosentyx. Before starting, get checked for tuberculosis. An increased risk of infections and lowered ability to fight them may occur, like tuberculosis or other serious bacterial, fungal, or viral infections. Some are fatal. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms like fevers, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, had a vaccine or plan to, or if inflammatory bowel disease symptoms develop or worsen. Serious allergic reactions and severe eczema-like skin reactions may occur. Learn more at 1-844-COSENTYX or Cosentyx.com.
Ask your dermatologist about Cosentyx.
Don't miss your chance to spring into deals at Lowe's. Right now, get a free 60-volt Toro battery when you purchase a select 60-volt Toro electric mower. Plus, buy three 19.3-ounce vegetable and herb Bonnie plants for just $10. It's time to give your yard a grow-up. Lowe's. We help. You save. Valid through 4/23. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, discount taken at time of purchase. Actual plant size and selection varies by location. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Yes, Jess Kelly is back with me, our technology correspondent. We are going to be talking AI with a tech tip and a tech rec, as usual, in just a moment. But Jess, Gateway to Europe, Ireland Gateway to Europe, to give it its full and proper title, is back. We are heading stateside, not just stateside next month.
No, we are going to Toronto for the very first time. For those who don't know, this is an organisation and it's made up of CEOs, business people, and then nerds like me and you thrown in for good measure.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Dorks, perhaps.
Oh, Jess.
But it's for the last number of years, we have partnered with them to travel across America to kind of get boots on the ground, get a sense of the opportunities are there that are there for Irish businesses in America, but also businesses in America in Ireland. We are very much a gateway for businesses into Europe, particularly since Brexit. But this year, there's a bit of a change. So I mentioned this previously, but for the very first time, Gateway is taking the mission to Toronto. And this was done to kind of scope out the opportunities that are there. But when you think about all of the stuff that's gone on in the last 3 or 4 months,
yeah.
Has there ever been a more perfect time to get boots on the ground and build relationships and also suss out the relationships that are there in Canada? There was a launch event for Ireland Gateway to Europe last week. I was lucky enough to go along. I met with the team. There's a great sense of excitement and anticipation, not only for the Canadian leg, but also to get to back to Boston, which is always a core part. But I caught up with Dr. Deirdre Giblin, who is of the Ireland Canada Business Association, and she explained why the timing of this trip could not be better.
It was always a great idea for the ICBA and Gateway to Europe to come together and to go to Toronto on our way to Boston and Washington. But my God, hasn't the world changed? And fortuitous is absolutely the right word. I was in Canada on the government trade mission to Toronto and Ottawa a few weeks ago, and it was palpable, the feeling. Canadians feel closer to Europe than they do to America. And that is the best way I can sum it up. We've all heard stories of what happens in supermarkets around Canadian goods versus American goods, but there's this whole feeling of being let down by their next door neighbour, by their friend, by a country that they came to the rescue of many times. And they very much look to Europe. And at this time of tariffs and things are changing, as we know, literally overnight and hour by hour, we, in Ireland, we personify Europe for the Canadians in many ways. Yes, we're a small part of Europe, but the closeness between Ireland and Canada is only going to grow and only going to get closer. And to bring over 65 plus CEOs, C-suite people to Toronto at this time is absolutely powerful.
Okay, so that is what she had to say about the timing. And listen, she's right. It's fascinating. For people who don't know, this whole concept, Gateway to Europe, was born in the dark days, the dark days of recession. And it was very much about attracting inward investment from the States. And the mission statement has changed and it was much more bilateral, and lots of Irish companies going over to the States looking at expanding in that direction.
Yeah.
Which has been a huge success story. But as you say, and as we heard there as well in the clip, so much now hangs over that relationship.
There's a lot of uncertainty. Yeah. And I think what I found really interesting in chatting to Deirdre, and you heard her say it there, is that, you know, Canada in particular is looking at its closest friend, its closest ally going through this turbulent period. And so I do think that there's going to be a fantastic opportunity to explore how, where and when Europe and indeed Ireland fits into the story. But I would love, I've never been to Toronto, and I would love to hear recommendations for what we should see, do and eat. Do you remember you made me eat a lobster roll last year in Boston?
Oh, well, sorry. Everybody who goes to Boston has to eat a buttery lobster roll.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm actually not a huge fan of the buttery lobster roll. I kind of, you have to do it, but it's very buttery.
It was too much for me.
Yeah, there's too much butter. Sorry, Boston.
Just let me know where.
Sorry, Massachusetts.
Where is the best chicken tenders in Toronto? But seriously, if you do have any recommendations for people that we should link in with, chat to, maybe your son or daughter are living over there and you want us to chat to them, please do get in touch. We're going to be there the first week of May, and we'll have lots more from Gateway, but also bringing you that sort of boots on the ground vibe as well.
Yeah, Wilson, we look forward to it. So we're going to be there the bank holiday week in May. The show is going to be broadcasting from Toronto Monday, Tuesday, Boston Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. So make sure you're listening for all of that. What's your AI 101 lesson this week, Jess?
The hallucinations.
So what is that?
This is where AI acts like the arrogant person in your office. It always has the answer, and even if it doesn't know the answer, it'll make up an answer so it doesn't know, you know what I mean? It couldn't possibly not know the answer. That's essentially what a hallucination is, right? Mm. AI has been designed, it's been trained up on a huge amount of data, and when you ask it a question, it'll pull from that data to give you an answer. It's very, very rare that it'll come back and say, I don't know. It'll come back and say, I can't help you with that. If you ask it to say, for example, write a radio script in the style of Kieran Cudahy, it won't do that because it doesn't want to take your intellectual property. There's a lot of slapped hands going around at the moment in terms of copyright and all the rest. But if you ask it a general question, you could ask it, what's 2 + 2? And it'll very confidently say 5. Sometimes. You could also ask it, you know, when did World War I start? And it could give you an answer very confidently, but it could be wrong. These hallucinations do happen, and it's when they, I suppose, don't understand the question that's being asked, or when they don't have the answer to the question readily available. It doesn't want to be the dumbest person in the room. It wants to be that super smart, arrogant coworker that has every answer to every question that you might ask. And this is why we spoke about a few weeks ago, the art of the AI prompt. The more specific you are when it comes to what it is that you want from AI, the better the answer will be. Also, if you can give context to your question. So for example, if you're looking for information on Kieran Cudahy, and you could say, well, he's a broadcaster who I know is from Kilkenny. That then sort of narrows down the pools of Kieran Cudahy's that it can draw from. So you're giving it that extra bit of information. But the key thing here to understand it.
Go on, yeah. Awesome. I mean, some people reach kind of a plane of notoriety, Jess.
Oh my God, you're AI. You're our office's AI.
You don't actually have to narrow it down. So I said, write a script in the style of Kieran Cudahy. Full stop.
Do it.
It just said, yeah, sure thing, what's the topic? And I said, give me an upbeat introduction to an interview with Jess Kelly. Didn't give any detail on who Jess Kelly is. This is what AI wrote. Now, I don't know about you, but I've officially lost count of the number of apps, gadgets and platforms I'm supposed to be on to make life easier, and yet somehow it all feels more complicated. Well, fear not, because help is at hand. Jess Kelly is our technology correspondent here in News Talk, and if anybody can make sense of this madness, it is Jess.
Wow.
Yeah, that
I think
actually,
that's more of
that
an impressive intro than
unnervingly like something I would write, isn't it?
Well, maybe you don't count in terms of copyright. I don't know if we've put copyright on all of your intros and all the rest. But if you were to ask it to write,
it knows
a book,
who I am because it's my ChatGPT. So
it's,
and it knows
your style. Yeah,
yeah. And it knows me because I'm writing on it all the time, and it knows I'm asking about myself. But it still knew who you were without. Now I didn't ask it to write in
your
style.
I love the surprise in your voice there, Kieran. Geez, thanks so much.
No, but it's great, isn't it? It's amazing.
It is.
I know I'm talking people out of jobs here, but I mean, you could fire half the floor, Jess. Look at that. That took me 2 seconds.
Oh, Kieran. Kieran, let's move on urgently. So look,
I don't mean that, of course. Your valued colleagues.
Who would fluff up your ego? So what we know is that AI is very, very useful. But I suppose this is a stark reminder to always question what it says to you. We have seen very famous examples of people putting request prompts into any of the AI platforms, getting information back and betting their houses that it is correct. Mm. That is not a good thing to do because it does prevent the or present the information with such confidence that it can cause issues. So what you need to know, Ibrahim, hallucinations do happen. It doesn't happen every single day. You might be lucky and not encounter it, but we know for sure that it does happen. The onus is on you, the human being, to verify the facts. And that's why, as useful as it is, you would never want to rely on it 100%. If AI provides specific details such as dates, names or sources, and the sources is really important, double check. We know there's an example that I've often cited where there was a lawyer in the US who was arguing a case. He referenced a whole host of other cases to show to the judge that there had been precedent set, and it turns out he'd used ChatGPT and none of the cases he cited actually existed. You don't want to be that person, so verify the facts. Look for claims that are unverifiable. If you can't find a second source of information, just do a little bit more digging, or else don't use it. Two things that I would recommend you do with humans and with AI is check for either vagueness or overconfidence. If someone or an AI platform is too vague on the detail, or if they're too overconfident with the information they're presenting, check, verify, and sniff it out entirely. It does take a little bit of the seamless nature of AI out of it, but it will save you from looking like an idiot.
And what is your tech rec then?
We're sticking kind of with AI actually again, and that is to watch out for a prompt on your Facebook or Instagram over the coming days. As I was mentioning on Pat Kenny on yesterday's show, Meta's AI is now going to use publicly available information from users. As of yesterday, users have been receiving these notifications to either opt in or opt out. They're saying that they're going to make it very, very easy for you, very easy to do, very easy to read and understand if you want to opt out. So keep an eye out. They're going to let you know via email and via a pop-up notification on the app over the next few days. Take a few minutes to read it, to understand, and if you don't like it, take the time to opt out.
Jess Kelly, our technology correspondent, thank you very much for that. You can catch more of Jess's insights on Tech Talk. You can listen on newstalk.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on Newstalk.
Amazon presents Jenny versus the Sun. An absolute giant ball of scorching plasma. The sun has one temperature setting. Hot as f***. But Jenny shopped on Amazon and bought 8 ounces of 50 SPF, a beach umbrella, and a large brimmed hat. Hey, sun, Jenny just cooked you. Save the everyday with deals from Amazon.